Bumper stickers abound in our city. With ever-increasing visibility and also number-wise, the bumper tags are growing. And some of them are really neat, but the one that is so appropriate and cannot take second place for this weekend is, as some of you have already guessed, if you enjoy your freedom, thank a veteran, thank a vet. And we do pay tribute this day to those men and women who have served in the armed forces and who have indeed lost their lives. And if it wasn't for those like them, we today would not be able to experience the freedom that we have today. And so I do want to pay tribute to the families and to the children, the grandchildren, even the great-grandchildren who would be surviving today in King City because of people in their family who have given their life. For example, during World War I, there was one person who died who came from King City. And during World War II, there were 36 young kids who lost their lives who came from King City. 36. And for those people, we say, wow, they gave their life, they gave the ultimate so that we could have our freedom today. In the Korean War or the Korean conflict, there was one who came from King City. And then during the Vietnam War, there were eight. So for all these 48 people on Memorial Day, we truly say thank you for what you have done. Thank you, thank you. It is a time for us to think about what people have done to give us our freedom. But people, it's also a time when we want to thank God for giving His Son in a great, great spiritual battle that ended in His death. In fact, He gave His life. And somebody says, well, how much did you love us, Jesus? And He just spreads out His arms and He says this much as His arms are put on the cross. In the Bible, in Matthew 26, verse 13, I want to read this and then I want to return later if I don't forget. Matthew 26, 13, it has to do with this Memorial Day that we are involved in, certainly the weekend. Matthew 26, verse 13. It's about the lady who anointed Jesus at the little town of Bethany. And it says she poured perfume on his body. And then Jesus said, she did it to prepare me for burial. And then verse 13, I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her, or it will be a memorial of her. And we want to come back to this in just a little bit. But to continue our series of sermons on the manifestations of the spiritual gift that God, of spiritual life that God has given us, we want to talk about the fruits. And we have looked at quite a few fruits, and we have a few more yet to go. We want to review what we have looked at already because it's important. As we turn to Galatians chapter 6, or Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, to see what we have studied. It's very important that we review because that's how we learn. And all of you know, because we were given vivid illustrations last Sunday, of what holds everything else up, and that is love. And Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit, not the gifts, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So for our review and for our memory, we want just to check out one statement or two regarding each one of these fruits that God has given us. The first was love, and we talked about it was the agape love. Paul says that the greatest of all everything, you know, is love. And so when he speaks about love, your pastor admonished you to move in agape love instead of the other loves that are appearing on the wall. The physical love, the family love, or the warmth of the brotherly love. And we chose the apple as the fruit that would represent love. The next one was what? Joy. Your husband's name Joy. How could you forget? And so we talked about joy being emotional excitement, gladness, a delight over blessings received or expected for ourselves or others. Paul says that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And the comment is the bottom line of that sermon. If we are living with Christ as we should, if lives are hid with Christ, then afflictions and trials and pressures, and anybody have any frustrations? Well, these cannot destroy us because we have we are plucking from our tree of righteousness, of which we are planted in Christ, this fruit of joy. Then the next one, does anybody remember? Peace, calm, quiet order, which takes place in the soul instead of doubt, fear, and alarm. And we made mention that Paul uses two words, a Greek word for harmony and a Hebrew word to express total well-being, soundness, prosperity, and success. To rejoice in the worst of circumstances, and Paul said that I'm content in whatever state that I'm in. Love, joy, and peace, the first three. Then last time during our lesson, we studied two. Does anybody recall what the first one was? Patience, or the other word was what? Long-suffering. And remember, we tell you what that word meant? Long of nose, and instead of short nose. You know, everybody, when they get mad, they say, you know, I've had it, you breathe through your nose. Okay. To be long-suffering or to be patient would be a long of nose, slow to anger. Patience was another word that was used. And the lesson was that in our Christian trait of this fruit of long-suffering, it meant patiently enduring the offenses, the injuries, the threats, and the condemnation of others without, and you read it with me, murmuring, resentment, complaining, or grumbling. So we looked at long-suffering or patience, and then we also looked at the last one of last study was what? You got it, kindness. A disposition to be gentle, soft-spoken, even-tempered, usefulness, a favor, mercy, brotherly love. Another word that some translations have beside gentleness kindness was gentleness, and that word means to bend low, to condescend. And so the pastor encouraged you to show this kind of kindness to, you read it, enemies, family, friends, and self. And sometimes it's not easy to be kind toward family, toward enemies. It's not natural, is it? Or friends, or even to ourselves. So today we want to study our next word in the fruits of the Spirit. And we're going to tell you why I've chosen particular fruits for these today. We're going to look at goodness. Goodness. I said goodness. I didn't say good. And Paul didn't say good. Paul said goodness. There's a lot of difference between good and goodness. Do you agree? First you would say, well, it looks like they're from the same root word. It would be good, but it's different. There is a great deal of difference because to be good has as its definition sufficient or satisfactory for a given purpose. If something is good, then it is satisfactory for that given purpose. Paul didn't say a fruit of the Spirit is good. He said it was goodness. It was goodness. And I have wrestled a great deal with these words today. And I'll tell you why. Because in Galatians 5:22, what do you have here beside goodness? Anybody have a different word? Benevolence. Anyone else? Well, if you have any of these Bibles, I beg your pardon? Meekness. Okay. In going through all the Bibles in my office, on the left-hand side, you see the different Bibles, some 25 or 6. For this day, I put in the year that they were published in the New Testament. And you can see at the very top in the Greek, the word is, in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, the word is goodness. But you can follow right down the line. Some of the translations that are in column 1 have been translated, like we heard a moment ago, benevolence, generosity. And it gets a little confusing because it is awful close to kindness, isn't it? Very close to kindness that we looked at last week. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit being goodness, Paul is saying we want you to pluck, if you will, this goodness. And it's a different word from the kindness, if you can follow with me. Kindness is a disposition to be gentle, self-spoken, even tempered, to give mercy or to brotherly love. That is what kindness is. It's a disposition to be. Goodness is an excellent virtue. An excellent virtue. Excellent means quality. Virtue would mean a relationship. A moral relationship. So goodness and kindness are very close.
Why am I making such a big deal about it is because Paul used two different words. Once he said, as we looked at our last lesson, we are to pick that fruit, and it's got to be the fruit of what? It's got to be the fruit of kindness. Then he goes on and says you also want to be able to produce a fruit which is not just kindness, but it is goodness. Paul says in Romans 11:22, continue in goodness. But what are we going to continue in? Go ahead, Sal. That's okay. Sorry. What are we going to continue in? Well, we're to continue in goodness, and I have wrestled with this because the words are so different. But here's what I discovered, that in secular Greek, there is no word that Paul uses here in Galatians 5:22 for goodness. It only appears in the New Testament. This is the first of maybe three or four times where it is used. And what he is using is a word that means love in action. He is saying this is a word that's going to represent a fruit that shows virtue. It shows virtue, benevolence, and charity. And in this respect, it is different. It's a little bit different. So he's talking about pick the fruit of goodness. Now for this fruit, which likewise I am wrestling over, you know, once you start, you can't stop. Oops, I'm sorry about that. I don't know. Yes, right. Excuse me. Come out of here. You know, once you start picking fruits that match, you've got to really keep what you're going. So I got started and I can't stop. So I have chosen today the sycamore fig, the sycamore fig tree producing the sycamore figs to represent the fruit that Paul says we are to have in our spiritual life. It is a manifestation of the spiritual life, goodness. And I chose this kind of a fig, the sycamore tree fig. I didn't choose the regular fig as we studied last week, but I chose the sycamore fig because the sycamore fig just grew everywhere. It's like, what's the most common grass in California? Okay, crabgrass. Well, all throughout the valleys and the hills, we got these little trees growing, you know, and it's very common. And the reason I chose the sycamore tree to represent the fruit of the Spirit equating to goodness, which we're studying today, is that it was everywhere. And I'm reminded of the what of God? The goodness of God. The goodness of God just is everywhere. And you know, it was a famous saying. These people who lived in Palestine would say, this is what makes me very happy. And it's quite different from what makes us happy today. One thing is a pitcher of water, two sycamore figs, and a piece of bread. And that makes me happy. And that was the saying of the day. And the sycamore figs were everywhere. In other words, it was a fruit given to the common people out of the goodness of God. God just, you know, he stretched his arms out and said, here, you can have the sycamore fig trees everywhere. Yes, they can grow in the stony ground if you want to, or they can grow in shady areas. But they grew everywhere, and they were common. And because of that commonness, and because of the sufficiency of them for food for the common people, I chose a sycamore fig. And while we're on figs, obviously something's happened since last week. Now, what is the object lesson here, people? Why did it lose its life? Exactly. And what did Jesus say in John 15? You better stay in the vine, because if you get pulled off, or if you separate yourself willfully, you're going to wither. All right, okay. The sycamore fig's been chosen for goodness. Now, the Greek word could be translated rebuke or correct, and this is interesting. Because when a parent is being good to a child, or when an employer is being good to an employee, they are correcting them, and they are disciplining them. When Jesus went to the temple and he overturned the money changers when they were making bazaar, what he did was showing this kind of goodness. In contrast to the time when he went to the lady when he encountered the woman who was the sinner and anointed his feet, at that point, he was showing more like the kindness instead of the goodness. It's goodness in action. And so I had difficulty dividing the goodness from last study's message on
on kindness, and I guess you can see why. Back to the scripture, I ask you not to let me forget Matthew 26:13. Matthew chapter 26, verse 13. What this lady did to Jesus, she was giving to us today an example of goodness. And I tell you the truth, after she poured this perfume on him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And so I'm telling it on this Memorial Day weekend, and we are memorializing this lady and what she did. She showed a great deal of goodness to the Lord Jesus. Examples of goodness and likewise example of kindness interlace very easily. For example, when Rahab saved the spies, that's a toss-up. Was it goodness or was it kindness? So there's a little difference here. And you ask, what's the big deal about it? Well, the big deal is that Paul did use the two words. So just to recap, in our sense, before we go to the next fruit, in the case of the fruit of goodness, Paul is saying, I want you to see a virtue here, a quality of a virtue, which would also include benevolence and would include charity. And in that sense, it is different from the other word of kindness. Regarding God, make my goodness pass before you, he says. The scripture says that God is abundant in goodness and truth. And the scripture says, let the saints, you and me, rejoice in his goodness. And then it says, praise God for his goodness. Let me hear you say that. Praise God for his goodness. Oh, the goodness just abounds everywhere. And after the study, if you would like to partake of this fig, I must admit, to be truthful, it's not a sycamore fig. Because a sycamore tree in America is not like the sycamore tree in Palestine. And who was it that climbed up and what kind of a tree? A sycamore tree. Okay, let's go to the next one. And what is it, people? It's faithfulness. Look in your Bibles, and do you have any other word besides faithfulness there? Okay. Well, that is quite true. Okay, in the different translations, you can see, hopefully you can see, the different words that are used. Faith, faithfulness, good faith, fidelity, faithfulness, faith. I don't understand why the translators of these various writings would use different words other than faithfulness. At the very top on the left-hand side, you see Greek, and on the right-hand side, if you could read it, it would say faithfulness. That is the word, faithfulness. The difference is great between faith and faithfulness, isn't it? Isn't it? For example, I'm not talking about faith, that is to unite or bind together, that which on man's side unites him to God for salvation. That is faith, but that's not what Paul says. Paul says faithfulness, and I'm not talking about faith in terms of a belief or a creed or a conviction of religious truth. That is faith too. You know, you have faith in something, but that's not what he is saying. Nor am I talking about the faith that's in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm not talking about that kind of faith. Paul is talking about faithfulness. Faithfulness. And for faithfulness, I've chosen from the backyard of Irita's yard the pomegranates to be. It's coming, the pomegranate. And some of you have never ever seen a pomegranate, probably. But there is a pomegranate. And that's also Darren, and he's eating the pomegranate. I'm not sure. 20 years ago. Okay, why did I choose the pomegranate for this fruit, which is faithfulness? To begin with, it's full of what? Seeds. And it's a very delicious fruit. As a matter of fact, it also served as medicine, and it also served as a refreshing beverage. It was the real thing, people. And Jesus, when he took his hot walks around Jerusalem and the seashores, he would take the pomegranate, and he would be able to have fresh juice from it. And so it delighted Jesus many times. It refreshed him. I chose it also because the word means upright growth. And what we're talking about is faithfulness, which keeps a person upright. The upright growth. And the seeds providing, well, symbolically would be for the fertility and the symbol of the rain in Hebraism. It was the ability to reproduce. And it was something that the people loved to see and loved to eat because it was very delightful to the eyes. It was very refreshing to the palate. In the Song of Songs, it says in chapter 4, and also in one of the other chapters, that the temple, and I want you to pick up on the word temple, regarding the lover, the temple was as a pomegranate. In other words, it was the blush on her temple, which was just so very pretty. It was the finest of blush with on her temple. On the temple, and as in the building and the priest, the temple had pomegranates carved on the two pillars at the beginning, and then the priest's robe had pomegranates sewed on there too. So we have sort of a play on words here. But it was an emblem, first of all, of piety, which was an affection of devotion, an emblem of piety, and hence our study today, the fruit of faithfulness because of being upright. Faithfulness. Here's the definition. Firmness, security, stability, steady, steadfastness, even loyalty, and even trustworthiness. This is what we're talking about. So Paul says, one of the signs of spiritual maturity, manifestations of the spiritual life, is the fruit of faithfulness. And this is something I want to be. I want to be faithful. And I want you to be faithful. And last week, a pastor in town was telling me, he'd been here a number of years, and he said, I was complimenting him on his skill and ability. And he said, well, beside that, he said, I just want to be faithful. And as your pastor, I want to be faithful to God. I want to be faithful to you. You know, it's both the vertical and horizontal. And I want to commend you for your faithfulness, because you have indeed stood faithful to your pastor and to other members of our church through the thick and the thin and the ups and the downs and the coming into the storefront. You have been faithful. And God's got a reward for your faithfulness. It's a fruit. It is the manifestation of the spiritual life. Faithfulness. And in the Bible, we have words about faithfulness. How in the Old Testament, we see words that say, great is thy faithfulness. And we even sing that song. It says in Psalm 36:5, your faithfulness reaches to the sky, or your faithfulness reaches to the heavens. That's how great God's faithfulness is. It says, thy faithfulness is unto all generation. Now remember the definition of faithfulness: firmness, stability, strength, steadiness. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 1. We want to look just in passing at the faithfulness of God in the Old Testament, as seen in the Old Testament regarding God. Psalm 89, verse 1. Somebody read this out loud to us, would you? Verse 1.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known my faithfulness to all generations.
Okay. And someone read verse 33, would you? Okay, God says he never will betray his faithfulness. Praise God. And somebody else read verse 37, would you?
It shall be established forever as a belief and as a faithful witness in heaven.
Okay. Faithfulness as the moon. You know, the moon's there every night, every morning, though you can't always see it. That is there. So we've seen in the Old Testament regarding God, his faithfulness. And of course, all these fruits of the Spirit, they originate with God. They are in God.
And then we as his people, we can extract them from God, and he can put this in us, and then we can indeed move in the area of faithfulness. But there's one other scripture about the faithfulness of God. It's in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 5. Somebody read, would you? Isaiah 11, chapter 5. Okay, faithfulness will be the sash around his waist. This word sash, or this word girdle, it denotes strength, it denotes activity. And after a soldier has put on all of his armor, what is the very last thing he puts on? Puts on his belt, or he puts on his girdle. That means that to Greeks, it meant this guy's complete. You know, he's complete. He's completely armed himself, and he is ready for action. So in faithfulness in the Old Testament, seen in God. And then I think of this guy by the name of Daniel. Remember the story of Daniel? And it says that he just stood firm as if his faithfulness was exceeding. Everybody else would bend down to the pressure, but he said, no, I'm not going to bend down. And he shows to me great faithfulness. And then in Moses' situation, with the reference in the New Testament, Hebrews 3:5, it says, Moses was a faithful servant. He was a faithful servant. And this is what I want God to be able to say about each one of you and myself. He is a faithful servant. Faithfulness as seen in the Old Testament, we have, as we see it in the New Testament, I'm reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. Faithfulness in the New Testament as we would regard it to Jesus. And it says here, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And with your Bible still open, or if not, would you, as we draw to a conclusion, go to Matthew's writings, chapter 25. We're talking about the fruit of righteousness. And in Matthew 25, verse 21, faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. His master replied, well done, good. And what kind of a servant? Faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Faithfulness. You know, people say, well, when this happens and when that happens, then I will become faithful. But God says, no, you've got it just backwards. You know, now you be faithful with the one or the two or the three things. And prove yourself faithful in these areas. So we've seen people, the faithfulness in the Old Testament regarding God and Daniel and Moses. And we've seen the relation in the New Testament with Jesus and the parable. But it sort of comes down to right now, how is it with us? If we take inventory, you know, it's like if each one of us could go into the greenhouse with our fruit, and God plucks from you all a fruit, and he lays it down, and it's all labeled, and, you know, this fruit is yours, this fruit's mine, this fruit's somebody else's. And then he puts a strong searchlight down on it, and he looks at the fruit. I'm just afraid that in some of the fruits on my life, it's going to be just as pathetic as this. And maybe yours too. He is the gardener, and he is saying to you today the word that's in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. And it talks about be ready for service, and it talks about faithfulness. And it's a great illustration of faithfulness. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he does come and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Now, I'll tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve
we'll have them recline at the table and we'll come and wait on them. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken in two. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you are not expecting him. And he goes on to explain the parable in words like he is saying, you know, I want you to be faithful to what God has given you to do. Just be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. It's interesting, at the end of this parable, he talks about let me back up just a little bit. He talks about in verse 47, the servant who knew what the master's will and didn't get ready to do it will be beaten with many blows, but the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with fewer amounts of stripes. You know, the Jewish people had the rule, and what was it? You had how many stripes could you be hit? How many times could you be caned? 40, isn't that right? Okay, I tried it backwards for you. Okay, well, it was backwards for them too. Here's why. They said, we're going to get around this some way. And so now we're in, which is actually historically documented, we'll just do 40 for each offense. So you just can't be a robber, thief, and a murderer all in one evening at 7-Eleven and just get 40 stripes. We're going to divide them and give you 40 stripes for either one. And then they went on to have other minor things, like they would be four times. The whole point is this. It says here, after the faithfulness part of this parable, the guy who does not have too much light will only be punished according to that light. And that's very, very important. The ignorant receives less punishment. The petty crime only got 4 or 6 in an illustration of the caning even today. But in Christian lands where the gospel truth permeates the airwaves and the printed page, nobody is ignorant and nobody is inexcusable at all. So we got our fruit of faithfulness, people. And today we're looking at two fruits that are very, very important. The first fruit is goodness. I want to motivate you to have goodness as your fruit. And then secondly, I want you to be faithful. And here are the words in Revelation. Faithful unto death. And again in the Revelation, a faithful witness. Now, if you're having difficulty in producing some of these fruits that we've looked at, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, if you're having difficulty, well, it's not my fault. It's not your fault either. I mean, the one sitting next to you, it is whose fault? It is your own fault. And so what you have to do, you just got to go to the Word of God. You have to say, I'm having difficulty. I want you to assist me, God, by the Holy Ghost. I want you to be able to show me what I'm doing wrong, and all you got to do is make that call. Now, let me give you this illustration. I'm having trouble with my cellular phone, and so I opened up the manual, and I got the 800 number. It's just like praying, you know. It doesn't cost anything. So I dialed the 800 number, and this lady answered the phone, and she was so knowledgeable because she was with the people who had produced the AT&T telephone that I had purchased. And when you're calling God, he's familiar with your model because he, you know, we've been made in his image. So I told her my problem, and she said, oh, it's very simple. Turn it on, turn the phone on, and I turned the phone on, and she told me to put OK menu, and I did that, and press clear, and then press 8-4. I did all those things, and it was so simple. Oh, it was so simple. Why didn't I know that? Why couldn't I figure that out in the manual? And she was able to show me just what I needed to do so that I would have a phone that was functioning and telling me on my readout that I had missed 2 or 3 calls. If we're not functioning with our fruit, if our fruit is just not being produced right, all we got to do is call and say, God, I want you to send the Holy Spirit to help me produce the work of this fruit that I should be producing. And he'll say, like in my case, well, you dumb idiot, why don't you just do it? He'll just say so lovingly to each one of us, all you got to do is what? Stay in the vine. Let's stand and pray. Father God, I thank you for the
the Word of God, which so clearly tells us what to do. Now, the Word is very clear. There are manifestations of the spiritual life. And some of the manifestations of the spiritual life include the fruit of the Spirit. And Father, I pray that this week we could work hard on these fruits. And we could even start with the last one and work up to the first one. We could start off with being faithful, just being faithful, work all through the fruits and end up with the love that comes from God and is exemplified through us. Father, I thank you for the fruit that is being produced by the members of this church, fruit that this pastor hears about from time to time. I thank you, Father, for these dear people who are striving to be fruit producers on their trees of righteousness, and ask your blessings today in ministry that we can even start producing more full fruit than we are. In Jesus' name, amen.